Our guest speaker today, Steve Behrman, is an internationally known author, humorist, and workshop leader. For over 30 years, he has written and performed as Swami Beyondananda, the cosmic comet. Comet? Comic? Probably a comet, too, knowing Steve. Swami's comedy has been described both as comedy disguised as wisdom and wisdom disguised as comedy. Marianne Williamson has called him the Mark Twain of our generation, and we are so happy to welcome him back. So may I present Steve.
Thank you, thank you. It's wonderful to be here. You know, I do so many talks in front of churches on Sunday mornings that people have asked me if I'm an ordained minister. Turns out I was a minister in a past life, so I'm preordained. And it's great to start the year off. I love that song, Andoni, by the way. That was really very excellent. Because so many times we're kind of running towards something and we don't know what it is. It's kind of like we live in a society where people are pursuing happiness, and if you look at their faces, many folks have just run right past it. Just run right. So today's talk is going to be a little bit more serious, but hopefully inspirational. About 13 years ago now, I met Bruce Lipton. Who knows Bruce Lipton? Great cellular biologist, wrote a best-selling book called Biology of Belief, which talks about how our beliefs and perceptions impact the outpicturing of our lives and our health and so on. And so Bruce and I began a conversation, which was, how does that pertain to our collective beliefs? How do our collective beliefs and perceptions outpicture, and what can we do to actually shift those beliefs so that we actually end up creating the more beautiful world that our hearts know is possible, as Charles Eisenstein would say. So today's talk is called Spontaneous Evolution, A Universal Love Story. Spontaneous Evolution is the book that Bruce and I wrote. And as we look around us, and again, I hope you don't mind me using this word to describe our current condition, we have a situation. We have a situation. And many people are feeling disheartened, they're feeling frustrated. And yet, if you look at it from the bigger picture of evolution, and the bigger picture of the one love that we're all part of, we have some perspective. We can help ourselves, and then we can also help people around us to get above the line and begin to live this evolutionary new reality. So Bruce, as an evolutionary biologist, he says crisis precipitates evolution. And if we look around us at the multiplicity of crises, ecological, economic, political, personal, spiritual, cosmic, we realize that the chances of precipitation are about 100%. So something is going to happen. And it's interesting, the word crisis originated maybe 500 years ago, and it was a surgery term. And in medicine, crisis is the point of life or death. It's the tipping point where it can go either way. So we are at a point where if we look at all the markers of destruction, we can make a good case for, the world is going to hell in a handbasket without the handbasket. If we look at the possibilities, though, we can recognize that this is really an opportunity to evolve to a different way of relating to one another, to ourselves, and to creation. So we are in, if you really look at the markers, if you actually read the science and so on, it's a very serious situation we find ourselves in. And there are those who've really, done the numbers and so on. I said, it's going to take a miracle. It's actually going to take a miracle for humanity to make it through this passage that we're going through right now. Now, that may sound like bad news, but there's good news, too. The good news is there's a template for miracles. There is actually a template for miracles that we can actually measure, and we have stories to prove it. And that template is called spontaneous remission. Now, we may know, I bet we all know people, and maybe it's happened to somebody here, where you have a life-threatening illness, you've been told that there's nothing more that medical science can do, get your affairs in order, get ready, as as the song would suggest, you know, to always look on the bright side of life, you know, to be ready for that, go out on a ha breath. But then interesting things happen. Every now and then, there is a spontaneous remission. That disease condition that manifested in physical reality disappears. And people go to their doctor, and the doctors, of course, you know, the medical profession is very hesitant to look at these you know, cosmic causes. They, well, you probably didn't have it in the first place. But then you have all of the medical tests and scans that show you did have it. And so Louis Mail Madrona, who is an MD who is working with Andrew Weil, decided to do a study of people who experienced spontaneous remission. He wrote a book called Coyote Medicine, which is the stories of all of these people who somehow manifested this healing for no apparent reason. He did find that there was one common factor in the people who experienced these spontaneous healings, and he called it a change of story. A change of story. And sometimes it was people who needed to be out of a work situation, needed to be out of a belief situation, or even a religious perspective. Sometimes it was a relationship. Sometimes it was geography. But it was something that required a change in what people had been telling themselves about how life really works and how their life really worked. And so change of story is change of story. And I think that that is really where we are at as a species right now. There is a collective story that needs to be changed. And we call it spontaneous remissioning, where we actually change our mission from it's every person for themselves, which is where we've been for 5,000 years, living under the lowest common dominator rule, dominate or be dominated, and shift to we're all in this together. We're here to create a world of thrival for each and all. The new story, the new mission. Now, in order to, well, that's a great idea, but what is life and nature and the nature of cosmos and the universe have to say about this change in story? And we call this the universal love story, because if you see how life began on Earth and where we are now, it becomes really obvious what the next step is. So, how did life begin on Earth? Well, if you believe in the Big Bang Theory or if you believe in creation, really the same thing happened. The first spark of life was the energy and light from the sun interacting with the matter on Mother Earth. Father, Son, Mother Earth created this child of life through something called photosynthesis. And that's how life began. That is a love story. Father and mother making love, and life is the beautiful child. And life went on for billions of years like that, and I guess as single-cell organisms. And then at some point, the single cells probably got tired of being single. They said, let's get in a relationship here. And the single-cell organisms, because there were so many of them, they couldn't really survive as single cells, they decided to combine forces and become multi-cell organisms. Because when cells combine forces and become a community, two things happen. They have the collective awareness of all of the cells, and then they have the ability to share resources and actually work more efficiently. And so the second act in this universal love story is that cells decided to combine and become multi-cell organisms. Act three in this story of life came when we have very, very, very complex multi-cell organisms like you and me. We are actually a community of 50 trillion cellular citizens. And very interestingly, our cells all get along. You know, we have universal health care, full employment, no cell left behind. And the organs cooperate. You never hear about the liver invading the pancreas, demanding the islets of Langerhans. It just doesn't happen. And so Act 3 is we have these amazing multi-cell organisms where we have entire communities of cells doing different functions, and each community relies on the other to do their job. You know, the liver doesn't worry about the heart. The heart doesn't worry about the kidneys. They're all working together. Well, in Act 4 in this universal love story is when these entities, these communities of cells like you and me or dogs or cattle or birds or fish begin to cluster together in groups. So fish gather in schools, birds gather in flocks, dogs gather in packs, cattle gather in herds, and we human beings gather in tribes, in our groups of affinity. And that's where we are right now. And we are at the point in our in the human awareness portion of the program where we are still locked into this tribal mentality. Thou shalt not kill only applies to people in my tribe. Or as the Swami would say, thou shalt not kill unless done in extremely large groups. That's where we're at. And so we are at Act 4 in this play. Now, the Greeks had a name for four-act plays. Remember what the Greeks called the four-act plays? Tragedies. But there is a five-act play that the Greeks had, and they were called comedies. So crucifixion, tragedy. Resurrection, comedy. Will you add one more act onto the play? Will you add another level of connection and awareness, and all of a sudden, you have something different? And so Bruce Lipton, being a cellular biologist, recognized that the next phase of human evolution is recognizing that we are also all cells in a larger organism called humanity, or as we prefer, humankind, because the currency of humankind is human kindness. It's expression of love, it's expression of connection. And this applies to the entire living system of Gaia. You know, Tridia, over the years, she gets irritated when, somebody is addressing us as a couple and says, you guys. Because it's just, guys are guys and girls are girls. And so we figured that to create a more all-inclusive term that reflects our relationship with the living planet Gaia, you Gaians. Hey, you Gaians. We're all Gaians. We're all denizens of planet Earth. And so the next phase of human evolution, Act 5, that turns a tragedy into a comedy, is recognizing that we're all cells in the same body of humanity. When you recognize that, you see that so much of what we're doing, whether it be warfare or toxic forms of competition, is really autoimmune dysfunction. Healthy cells fighting other healthy cells. Now, it's interesting that autoimmune disease is something rather modern. We didn't have that 75 years ago. And it's due to a lot of factors, including pollution and GMOs and antibiotics and so on. But it also is a spiritual reflection of the changes that we have to make, that it's a metaphor for where we are. We're healthy cells fighting other healthy cells. And we need to up-level our notion of competition by going back to the original Greek meaning of the word. And the original Greek meaning of competition was to strive together, to strive together. So if you imagine the first Greek Olympians running and competing in these games, essentially they were using all of the other competitors as pace cars so that they can do their personal best. So if we reframe the idea of competition and take it on as we are striving together as cells in the same organism, that changes the entire picture. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, in our book, Spontaneous Evolution, Bruce and I offer a three-step program, which is mathematically proven to work four times faster than 12-step. Doesn't that make sense? And the three steps of evolution are evolutionary awareness, evolutionary intention, and evolutionary practice. Okay? So it's very interesting that every phase of evolution involves two things: increased awareness and increased connection and community. And this may seem paradoxical, probably not to this group, but to many groups seem paradoxical, that the more connection and community we have, the more freedom we have. The more freedom we have. We're more free to be ourselves. We're more free to pursue our heart's desire without having to fend off other people. Imagine what it would be like. Imagine if we had the energy that we're spending on weaponry, the energy we're spending on BS to convince other people of something, you know, or to sell a product, all of this waste of energy. If we had that energy available to really provide for our children, to really create a system where every child is known and every child gets to bring forth their individual genius, if communities were really designed to work together and people were each had their role, their heart's desire, and a way of service to the community. And this may seem utopian. Ourselves would call it health. So if we were to collectively manifest what a healthy body manifested, there would be the cooperation of all of the organs, and there would be a sense of a central voice, this coherent sense of individual connection that is also connected to one another and connected to creation as a whole. Now, interestingly, Jesus really boiled it down. He took the Ten Commandments and boiled it down to three suggestions. Love God, love thy neighbor, and love yourself. Bingo, bingo, bingo. That's really all we have to do. It's that simple. It's that simple. And so as we find ourselves in the situation that we're in, evolutionary awareness, become aware that evolution only moves in one direction. The current Agent Orange, who is at the head of our government right now, that is what we would call an eddy. You know, an eddy is a backflow, that when there's a flow of a river or a body of water, sometimes there's rocks and there's obstacles and there's twigs, and there's a backflow. And things seem to be moving backward. But ultimately and inevitably, the flow breaks through, the eddy is gone, and something else happens. I look at our current president as America's balloon karma payment. That what we have is the real face on what has been happening undercover for the last 70 years. We've just had a nicer face on it. With the appropriate face on it, we can face it and recognize what that is. We can choose something else together. So we've all had these situations where we get an illness, let's say, or a setback, and at first it seems like an obstacle that we can't overcome, but always in retrospect, people will always look at that as, wow, that was the best thing that ever happened to me. It changed my perspective. It changed my direction in life. And so now that we have the disease at the surface, we can actually know what we're dealing with, and we can choose something else. So simultaneously, we need the awareness that we are in apocalyptic times. Apocalypse means the lifting of the veils. So the veils are being lifted on all of these toxic perpetrations, and the veils are being lifted on all of the spiritual techniques and systems that have been kept in protective custody until now. Just like, you know, all of a sudden we've got the Kabbalah, we've got shamanic practices, we've got Vedic medicine, we've got Chinese medicine. All of these systems, the Hopi prophecies, all of these systems are being made available now as a resource for us to come together. So having that evolutionary awareness that all that we need is with us right now, and that the situation is perfect as it is because it's telling us where we are. Just like you're looking at your gas gauge. Oh, let's just tape it up so we don't see that we're on empty. So we're not taping it up. We're having to look the shadow in the eye, looking at the heart of darkness in the eye. Evolutionary intention is, awareness is what so. That's what so. Intention is, so what? So what? So what do we do? So what do we do? How do we deal with it? And that is the intention that we are going to live our lives in this new paradigm rather than the old one. And recognize when things are calling you onto the battlefield, We're all on the battlefield. You know, every time you have an argument with somebody, it's really just your ego against their ego. That's all it is. It's totally irrelevant when you're in the cosmic scheme of things. And so as we become aware of our intention, what will happen is that we will see when we're on the battlefield, when we're trying to push against something, hence making it more powerful. So the more energy is spent in resistance to what we don't like, this is what really strengthens it. That's how our current leader gets his power. He gets nourished by attention. You know, if we had a month without Donald Trump, he would shrink to nothing. But all of the attention that's spent is what energizes the monster, okay? Finally, evolutionary practice, something that we do every day that affirms that we are connected to ourselves, to our fellow humans and girl humans, and connected to the web of life and Gaia. It's a practice. And this is, you know, again, we start out with this great perception of a world that we've imagined as possible. And yet because of how we've been programmed, and because our DNA has also been programmed to fight other people, there is an awareness that has to come to the fore right now. And so as we are creating an evolutionary practice, as we're looking at what can I do on a daily basis that affirms this new world of we're all connected, we're all in this together, we might look at another biological metaphor for where we are right now, and that is the transformation of the caterpillar into the butterfly. Now, the caterpillar, as you may or may not know, in the course of its lifetime as a caterpillar, consumes 26,000 times its own weight in food. So if we want to look at us metaphorically, we are this consumer society that has been consuming and extracting all of these things from the earth and not putting it back. The butterfly is able to fly above it and go from flower to flower, pollinating. You might say that the butterfly is really spreading the good news and spreading the idea and able to see from a higher perspective. We are in the middle of the chrysalis. And so when we're looking at the chaos that seems to be around us, it's the chaos of shifting from caterpillar to butterfly. Now what's happening inside the caterpillar, inside the chrysalis, is that the caterpillar cells are falling apart. They're deconstructing. And if we look at the caterpillar society of extraction, exploitation, extortion, and extinction, that is falling apart. Those systems can't hold. They can't hold during this time. And so the idea is to be, you know, stay away from falling caterpillar debris. What's also happening is that the first cells of the butterfly organism, called, interestingly enough, imaginal cells, they are actually coming together and beginning to communicate with one another. And all of these little congregations, all of these little groups of people who recognize that our past is not our future, these are groups of imaginal cells and are the first organs of this new butterfly that is emerging. So it's happening. We're part of it. We happen to be here during this transition. And so as we keep that evolutionary awareness that we really are all in this together, that we set the intention to live that way, and that we create practices that reinforce this new world, that reality will become more and more and more real until we recognize that here we are. Now, people ask me all the time, are we going to make it? Are we going to do it? And the fact is, as a Swami would say, he doesn't make predictions because he doesn't want to jeopardize his nonprofit status. And we are really living in a world of infinite possibilities. And so the greatest thing I ever heard, the most pertinent thing I ever heard about prediction was from the great philosopher and center fielder, Willie Mays. And Willie Mays was being interviewed by Howard Cosell, the sportscaster, And I'll channel the interview for you, and it went like this. We're talking with Willie Mays. Willie, let me ask you this. Will the Giants win the pennant this year, Willie Mays? And Willie Mays said, I don't know, Howard. That's what we're going to play the game to find out. So here we are. Here we are in that space of not knowing. And what we do know, what we know with complete certainty, is the love in our hearts. And that's where we are in this universal love story. Thank you. Okay, we're going to do a little meditation. I guess it's premeditated because I thought about it before. We'll do a little meditation. Okay, so close your eyes. I like to say, close your legs and uncross your eyes, but I won't say that. And just begin to breathe slowly. Four breaths into a count of four, out to a count of four. Into a count of four, out to a count of four. And as we do four in, four counts in, and four counts out, what we're doing is we're putting ourselves in coherence with the rhythm of the universe. And now, as we breathe in, just begin to breathe and be aware of the heart. Four breaths into the heart, four counts into the heart center with the breath. Four breaths out of the heart center with the breath. And just keep doing this. And you'll begin to notice this glow, this golden glow, this golden glow of awareness in your heart, like a sun. And just as you keep breathing into the heart, ever so gently, ever so steadily, one, two, three, four, in, one, two, three, four, out. That glow begins to grow. And now it's filling your entire chest. And with every breath, just watch that beautiful, beautiful golden glow begin to expand. Feel it. Feel what it feels like to have that glow through your entire body. And now feel the energy field outside your body enveloped in this golden, golden glow. And as you breathe, imagine it encompassing this city, this town, this state, this planet. And you're part of this one feeling, this one golden light that encompasses all of the earth and all of its living things, all of Gaia. And now imagine it expanding out to the cosmos, to the Milky Way, all of the vast galaxies. All of the vast galaxies. And recognize that you are that. That is you. It is inside of you. And it is outside of you. And just for a few seconds, let's go into the silence and feel that glow everywhere, universal, surrounded. And now begin to allow that vast, infinite, infinite glow to come from wherever it is now and fill your body. So that every part of your body is bathed in this golden light. Feel it back in your heart, this golden glow that is strong enough to encompass the entire universe and to shine forth today and every day from your essence to the world. And now, you may gently open your eyes.